to have some assumptions challenged. Today, we're going to be diving into a global shift. It's quietly reshaping Christianity.
Okay.
And honestly, you might be surprised to learn it's not happening where you'd think.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. It really makes you question those like ingrained ideas we have about faith and, you know, where it takes root.
For sure. So, listeners, we're digging into this article about the significance of Bible translation. It's fairly in Africa.
Right.
But, and I think this is really important to emphasize, it goes way beyond just language.
Yeah.
We're talking about a whole new chapter unfolding in the story of Christianity.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, we often instinctively link Christianity with Europe and the West.
Right. Makes sense, right.
For centuries, that connection, it made sense.
Historically, yeah.
But over the last 100 years, there's been this incredible surge in Christianity in the global South.
Yes.
Particularly in Africa.
And this isn't just a handful of new churches popping up here and there.
No.
We're talking about a seismic demographic shift.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So back in 1900, a massive 80% of Christians, they lived in Europe and North America.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to today, and over 60% now live in Latin America, Asia, and Africa.
Wow, that's huge.
It is.
I mean, I knew things were changing.
Right.
But those numbers are really eye-opening.
Right. And it goes even deeper. Scholar David Barrett actually predicted back in the 20th century that by the year 2000, Africa would be home to a staggering 350 million Christians, leading him to declare Christianity a primarily non-Western religion.
So what does that even mean for a religion as globally influential as Christianity? I mean, this isn't just about numbers on a map, right?
Exactly. And it makes you question, you know, what happens when a religion so profoundly shaped by one part of the world finds its most fertile ground in another?
Yeah.
Andrew Walls, who's a scholar that's, you know, studied this extensively, argues that what happens within African churches in the coming decades will determine the future of Christianity for centuries.
Centuries?
Yeah.
Wow. So we're talking about potentially new expressions of theology, new ways of sharing faith.
Absolutely. And maybe even a new understanding of what it means to be a Christian in the 21st century.
Yeah, totally. And this leads us to another fascinating point. It turns out not everyone is thrilled about this shift.
Right.
Some scholars and commentators see it as, well, a bit unsettling.
Yeah. There's this underlying unease that surfaces.
Yeah.
When we see the heart of Christianity beating strongest outside of its traditional boundaries.
It's almost like this global shift forces us to confront a truth we might not be comfortable with.
Yeah.
Like our traditional view of Christianity as inherently Western might need a serious rethink.
And that's where the story of Bible translation becomes so crucial.
Okay.
Because it reveals a different path for Christianity to take root.
Yeah.
A path that challenges the assumption of a single dominant culture.
Right.
Shaping the faith for everyone.
Yeah. You know, when we think about the Bible in Europe, we often picture those massive Latin texts, you know, carefully guarded in monasteries and only accessible to a select few.
Right.
It feels almost counterintuitive to think of Christianity flourishing in the same way.
And that's exactly where the experience of Christianity in Africa diverges.
Yeah.
Instead of being dominated by a single language like Latin, Christianity in Africa spread through the power of local languages.
Interesting.
This meant that people could experience faith in their mother tongues.
Oh, wow.
In the languages they used every day.
So it's like a much more personal,
yes,
immediate kind of connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's about experiencing the divine in the language of your heart.
It's almost like instead of arriving as a prepackaged cultural import, Christianity in Africa was able to integrate more organically.
Right.
Finding points of connection and resonance with existing beliefs and practices.
Precisely.
More of a dialogue, maybe.
Yes. And that brings us to the heart of Dr. Kwame Bediako's argument in the article we're exploring.
Okay.
He highlights this idea of African Christianity being deeply vernacular.
So more than just translating words on a page.
Right.
It's about translating the essence of faith into a culture's heart and soul.
Exactly.
But how did that actually play out? What difference did it make? We'll unpack that right after this.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the power of language and this idea of a vernacular Christianity.
Right.
It sounds intriguing, but what does that actually look like in practice?
Mm.
What difference did it make for people experiencing the Bible and Christianity in their own languages?
Oh, it's a great question.
Yeah.
And it gets to the heart of why this shift in Christianity really matters, you know?
Okay.
Imagine for a moment, instead of hearing sermons in a language you barely understand, you know, the stories of the Bible, they come alive
right
in the language you use every day.
Yeah.
suddenly faith becomes deeply personal and relatable.
Yeah, so it's not just about comprehending the words on a page.
No.
It's about feeling like the message resonates at a much deeper level, right?
Yeah.
And what's so fascinating is that this vernacular approach, it wasn't just about making Christianity more accessible.
Right.
It actually allowed for a genuine dialogue.
Oh, interesting.
Between the gospel and existing African traditions.
A dialogue? You mean instead of one culture being imposed on another, there was more of a back and forth, a blending even.
Precisely. Bediako uses this really vivid phrase in the article.
Okay.
He says it allowed for the gospel to be in conversation with African cultures.
Oh, I like that.
So it's not about erasing or replacing traditions,
right,
but rather finding common ground, shared experiences, and new ways of understanding both faith and culture.
Okay. Can you give me an example? How did translating the Bible into local languages actually play out in a specific context?
Yeah. There are so many rich examples.
Yeah.
One that comes to mind is how different cultures have interpreted the concept of salvation.
Okay.
In some African cultures, there's a strong emphasis on community and ancestral connections.
Yeah, for sure. So when the Bible is translated into languages that reflect those cultural values, salvation takes on a more communal meaning.
Interesting.
It's not just about the individual's relationship with God, but about the well-being and spiritual unity of the entire community, both living and ancestors.
That's a really different way of looking at it than the more individualistic view that's often associated with Western Christianity.
Exactly. Yeah. And it highlights how this vernacular approach allows for a richer, more nuanced understanding of the faith.
Right.
It's not about saying one interpretation is right or wrong,
right,
but rather acknowledging that the Bible can speak to different cultures in unique and powerful ways when it's experienced in their own language.
Totally. So we've got this incredible flourishing of faith in Africa driven by the power of language and this deep connection to local cultures.
Right.
But as we become more interconnected globally, I can't help but wonder, does that pose a challenge to this idea of a truly vernacular Christianity?
Right.
I mean, we're seeing global languages like English becoming more dominant every day. What does that mean for the future of this kind of diverse, localized experience of faith? It feels almost ironic, right? Like we've just begun to unpack how liberating it is to move beyond this single language dominance. And now we're potentially facing a new version of the same challenge, just with different languages at the forefront.
It's definitely a tension that Bediako, he grapples with this in the article.
Yeah.
How do we preserve this vibrant vernacular spirit, right? This connection to the languages and cultures where faith feels most alive in a world increasingly dominated by world languages.
Yeah, and like you said, we see it happening already with English, right?
Right, right.
Beginning to occupy a similar space to what Latin once did.
Exactly.
It's kind of, it's a weird thought to kind of wrap your head around. So are we destined then to see this rich tapestry of vernacular Christianity fade away as globalization marches on?
Right.
Or I guess a more interesting question is, could there be another way forward?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right.
And thankfully, Bediako doesn't see this as a done deal, you know?
Okay.
He actually suggests that this current revival that we're seeing of, you know, unique cultural identities happening alongside the spread of science and technology could lead to a world where people are less likely to be passive victims of cultural homogenization.
Oh, interesting. So instead of everyone ending up in the same cultural melting pot.
Right.
There's a chance we could see distinct cultures engaging with each other on a global stage while still retaining what makes them unique.
Exactly. Imagine a world where different cultures retain their distinctiveness, their languages, their unique expressions of faith, and yet are still able to converse, connect, and learn from each other.
Yeah.
It's a really, it's a powerful vision, and one that Bediako believes this global shift in Christianity kind of hints towards, you know?
Yeah, it really makes you wonder then if the future of faith, maybe even the future of global interaction, doesn't lie in uniformity, but in embracing diversity.
Oh, that's a profound insight.
Right.
And it's a question I think, you know, we all need to grapple with.
Yeah.
Because if this global shift in Christianity teaches us anything, it's that embracing diverse perspectives and allowing them to shape our understanding of the world can lead to something truly remarkable.
Yeah, it really makes you think differently about those, like, grand pronouncements,
Right.
you know, like the future of Christianity or
Yeah.
like the future of faith. It's like, well, maybe the real question is, what could the many futures of faith look like?
Oh, that's a question I'd love to hear more people asking. And who knows, you know,
Yeah.
exploring those many potential futures, that's where we might just find what Bediako calls, you know, the truly wonderful things of God.
Love that. Well, this has been such a thought-provoking deep dive. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be looking at the world and at faith in a whole new light. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and most importantly, keep the conversation going.